Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to be my friend, you ain't never gonna be my friend.
It's not bad.
If you're gonna be my friend, since
like the old days, it wasn't so long ago.
Hit it again.
Sign your pen pals.
I'd call that strong.
I think that was really strong.
Yep.
Andrew Young didn't blood. Sing anything.
Didn't go for
and
it at
started
all.
Started sweating.
Future or past guest.
He started sweating. He started sweating right out of the
Well,
gate.
It tasted sweet, but it was sweat.
Yeah, the only thing I'm sweat. Sweating from is looking to my right and my left and seeing some titans who have microphone stands, but I've just been given, I chose to be a child and two-handed.
You are below us in the middle.
I'm below.
I was
no
going to say we wanted
two-handing it from the bottom.
Now we're two-handing it from the bottom. Now we're here.
Exactly. Look, I don't want to get into budget.
Right. We only had the two stands.
The way we spend it is we want you to have the freedom to dance.
That's right. I'm swiveling.
Yes.
And also you have to like look that way, look this way.
Yep.
We're it's good. A lot of work. That
I could go just right down the middle.
You could just do
just
that the
to
whole
cam
time.
As, but I'm talking to you guys as though.
I hate that I'm about to do this.
Oh, I have something I'm going to throw out there. Oh, you have to do an ad for LaCroix. Go ahead. Hi.
Hi. I'm here for LaCroix.
Hi. I'm Bob LaCroix.
LaCroix.
I was going to bring up the thing you were.
Southwest.
Yeah. And that's what I was saying. I don't want to do this.
Airline
but actually,
rewards programs.
I bet I could get with you more than you think.
Here's what I don't think you're going to be against this, but I got to say, I fly Delta. I fly out of Terminal 2-3, whatever, at LAX all the time.
Yep.
I would fly out of Burbank more, but there's often multiple stops, and it's also more expensive.
Yep.
So I'll go LAX.
Burbank, though.
Yep.
I'll die for Burbank.
You recent, love Oh, we all love it.
I love it. I love it. It's very convenient. I recently flew to Austin, Texas, and I had to fly Southwest for timing's sake.
Sure.
There just wasn't an option. So I was like, oh, LAX.
Different theme.
Yeah. I was like, I was like, for content. Thematic. I was like, I'm going to fly Southwest, and I'll fly Delta back. Anyways, I get to Terminal 1 with TSA pre-check and clear. First off, no one is even working clear.
I didn't renew it this year. I didn't renew it this year because I'm just like, I'll keep renewing it.
But I've taken it to be the thing under your sink you use once every 2 years.
Yes.
And when it's there, you go, I do have masking tape.
Well, here's why.
Exactly. I just treat just clear
so,
like that.
Just
now.
So we're all very clear, I want to make it clear. I want to make it clear about clear. Clear is $180 a year, I think.
Right.
I have it because I just did the tour last year and gained massive amounts of miles, which put me at Diamond with Delta. This has only happened twice in my life. The first time it happened was 5-6 years ago, and I was gifted a free annual thing with Clear because of it.
Yeah.
And I signed up because I was late for a flight in Denver. And so I signed up for CLEAR.
That's
and
a CLEAR
I made
place.
The flight because I signed up and did it.
Yep.
Anyways, I wasn't. I got Diamond again. It said, you have CLEAR for a year if you want it. And I was like, I'm not using that. I'm tired of all the, like, the photos and the eyes. Yeah, and, the and then I was like, oh, wait, they already have
a private
that.
Company has saved your eyes.
I was like, oh, I've already given them this anyways because I did it before. So I, what do I care?
They this is how have. I always feel from being a federal agent. Yeah. I'm like, they have it all.
I was like, they already have and what they need on me anyways. Yeah. So I was like, oh, it won't matter. So I ended up getting it. Anyways, they don't even have it there. I mean, they have it, but no one's working it. The TSA thing, it was like mayhem at security.
Terminal 1.
And then Terminal 1, I was like, this is kind of, this feels like a broken place.
And it's brand new.
And it's brand new.
It's a free-for-all. Southwest free-for-all.
What's going on at Delta Terminal 3 genuinely makes Terminal 1 look like Terminal 3 is 10 years in the future.
Well, you're also Diamond Platinum member. I'm back last group, sir, and you can wait, and you can wait, and I'm like, okay, God,
actually help her with her bags, then come back off the plane until we let you board.
Yeah.
You are now a helper.
We'll do active service, and we'll do people who are just considering service. Yeah.
You're so in the last group, you're going to be seating people in front of you as you're going to be coming back. You're a host.
We want to watch you do active service.
Okay, any more diamonds? They keep going down. Cole? You, not you, our Cole members.
Bismuth members.
Cool.
Yes. People with lisps.
Yeah.
And don't fake it. We'll
anyone
test
here
you.
Left-handed? people being honest. Okay, I think I'm boarding next. No, it's just people who are left-handed.
What you said though is more an LAX commentary though than a Southwest.
It is,
right?
Yeah. I just also.
Although, yeah, I would say Delta airlines
Southwest
do have
fine.
Pull. At airports with how they are treated and the terminals they get and the gates they get. So it could be.
That's why Spirit is where it is. They're like, you're in the back. You're in the worst spot.
And it's why they always get delayed because they're like, we don't give a fuck. This is O'Hare.
We're not putting out the fires over there.
United has priority on everything. If it's a storm, if it's bad weather, if there's only one runway operating, United's getting first dibs. And Delta's that in Atlanta and other places. Yes. And so.
Good exit.
It might be sort of reflective on some level because they're like, hey, Delta's getting that terminal.
Right.
You guys
are
down here. We'll give you something new, but.
Well, Delta remodeled. They only had two for a while. Then they got three, and now they've kind of doubled up with both of them. But it used to be like five across the way, and then they moved over. But anyways.
Bad spot.
They figured out five.
I'll tell you what,
spot.
Though. When it comes to comparing LAX to Burbank,
yeah.
There's something about getting off your flight and being like, I'm home, but then I live in Los Feliz, so I'm like, I'm
an
home,
hour.
But I have to shuttle to
Uber.
To the Uber place, an hour home, smell whatever scents I'm going to smell, even though I checked the don't talk to me box, he's going to talk to
we're
me.
We're going to talk.
We're going to talk.
That's how they know you
I'm
do want to
bring it
talk.
Up, and then the gates are open.
But anybody who checks don't talk has something to say.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anybody who checks
I've never checked don't talk.
I haven't either. My wife would love it if I did.
Oh, yeah.
She hates when I talk to an Uber driver, but I like it.
You're
like
a social guy.
I'm a social guy.
Yeah.
Well, if it's a long drive, I feel weird not.
The quiet. Yeah.
Unless, I'll read the vibe, though. If they're doing something. A lot of times, you get someone who's bold, and you're just like, you're just always on speakerphone at all times all day.
Yeah.
With someone else who has nothing to say to you. Mm-hmm. Like, I can see the speakerphone on your.
I know. I've always wondered the phone calls. Who is
about?
On the other end?
Yes. I think some people spend their days just almost in like a conference call, as if they were sitting in a cubicle together.
Yes.
But they're doing their own whole thing. And then
I'm doing it now.
Oh, you're on a call right now.
I'm on a call right now with my cousin.
Who my is cousin Ubering. John. Who's Ubering?
He's Ubering right now.
And he's driving. This is actually what he's talking
about. He is a silent.
God,
no, don't
I would
talk
love
to, me
to know that. Anyways, I just had to air that grievance about
you're
100% Southwest.
Right. You're, that
the
terminal,
flight is fine. But I wish that there was
clear
like,
too. Clear is wild. I actually, poor Alyssa had to hear me like bitch about this once. But at Midway, I thought it through in my mind. If you are pre-check, you will stop twice. You will stop when they go, hey, can you go through here? Yeah, you're good. And then when you get to TSA. If you are clear, you will stop four times.
Oh.
Before you are past TSA.
Yeah.
Because they keep
check your clear.
Oh, let me see if you're clear. Okay. Hey, you're clear? Wait right there. And then come over here. You don't need to stop and go through the kiosk thing. And then they go, okay, wait right here until we can take you up to I have stopped four times.
Yeah.
I race my wipe because I don't like clear. I don't like it. I'm like, I don't even know if it often saves me time.
But there are times it does.
So I race my wife. I race my wife. Where I'm like, she's like, we pay for it. We should use it.
I just did it at LAX.
And I'm like, I'm going straight in, and I bet I'll get through before you, and I did. And
Oh, I'd be livid.
I just did it.
Chef's kiss, dude.
I clocked.
I was going wing sauce. But you have chef's
kiss. Yeah. But then also you're like, too hot.
Oh, I'm a bad chef.
God, I love how similar we all are. I don't. Maybe it just happens in traveling, the things you see and don't see. Because at LAX, last time I flew, I clocked. Who was waiting for clear? Yeah,
definitely.
And then I went through TSA pre, and I'm like, man, they aren't even in. They're not even walking up. I'm like, I can see.
Yeah. And then I also always think of Office Space, the beginning of Office Space, when he's changing lanes and the other lanes going. And then I'm like, this old lady is like, because sometimes you come to that fork where you're like, I'm picking.
Yeah, you got to pick
based off of the curvature. I'm like, no, that's a fake out. Like when they start everyone in a track scenario, it's all the same, but because of the curl, that's actually not as long.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm always thinking about that.
I bet so the last three times I've gone through clear, I've been flagged to randomly have to.
Yeah.
ID do check. The regular process ID anyway. Check. So and I'm like, what am I paying for?
They told me that is if you buy one-way flights, which if you travel a lot, you tend to buy one-way flights because you only want to change one leg, not both, or deal with changing the whole trip.
I was in Atlanta, and I was like going into the clear, and clear was kind of crowded. It was all like pretty crowded. Mm. And this woman goes, I was like, is this clear? And she goes, yeah, but TSA pre-check's going faster. And I everybody that was in earshot of that, that was with clear, was just like, fuck. Why is that possible? Right. Why would that be the case? Also at LAX one time, I just wasn't paying attention. And I went up to do clear, and I was standing there, and I was like waiting for one of the machines. And I looked, and I was like, oh, no one's even at TSA PreCheck. I could have gone straight to TSA PreCheck. Straight. And then I like
your
went
eyes
in.
Aren't working.
But I have also done clear where it is an advantage.
I've had that too.
And I did it, and that's this guy got behind
masking
me.
Tape.
Sometimes.
Yes.
This guy was right behind me after they let me in, waiting to put our luggage on the thing. And he goes, what even is clear? And I go, honestly, it's just we live in this world now where they just create lines to jump other lines. Mm-hmm. And I go, I get it for free, but I got to tell you, if I didn't, I wouldn't have it. I'm not going to fucking pay for it.
Right.
And he was like, I go, TSA PreCheck is fine. Even though it's getting like crowded, all it's becoming now is what standard. Airports used to be before it became insane. Mm-hmm. I go, and then it costs us money. I was like, this is just what it is now.
But it's $60. It lasts you like 5 years or whatever.
PreCheck.
Like clear is an actual investment that you have to make, and it's re-up. Not, and re-up every year. And it just doesn't, it has not been paying off.
Yeah, yeah. I had a moment that actually may have subconsciously kept me from doing clear more. And that was, I have like a standard airport get up. Mm-hmm. I have I always wear my jean jacket at the airport. It's the good, like, if you're hot or cold on the flight, it's warm enough.
Yeah, but it looks good.
But I look so cool.
Yeah.
And then I remember the guy, it was just me. He walked me to clear. He's like, he's like, can you squat a little, or whatever it is. He's getting my eyes taken a picture of, and then he sees that in my clear photo that I took a year ago, I'm wearing the exact same hat. I had a Bengals hat on, and I had my jean jacket on, and the guy goes, oh, weird. And I remember that hurt.
Tell me, you go, you know, it's funny. Last time I was here, you were wearing the same fucking thing, dude.
You kissed me on the lips, and you didn't make me do it. You were you said, that's your kiss.
And you wore the same blue shirt and the same blue pants, and you don't see me making fun of you.
You didn't see me kissing you on the lips again.
And he goes, I wasn't even going to say anything, but now you're being aggressive.
Yeah.
Should we do it?
Yes.
We're going to take a break, and then we're going to be right back with our guest, Luke Knowles!
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations
that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What if the letter is, are you guys going to introduce your guest? Oh.
Are you guys going to talk about...
are you guys going to say who your guest is today? Because I realized in the break, we haven't.
We haven't. And we won't.
No, we have to.
No, we
guys,
have to.
You're listening to the dulcet tones of the jean jacket beautiful man known as Luke Knoll.
These old rags.
Life, tours, schedule, work, gigs.
This is how you introduce him?
Also, I'm James Lipton.
That's kind of my bullet points.
I'm James Lipton. Life, school.
These are the many topics.
When I tell you that this man has been a contribution to comedy, you'll have no doubt that I'm correct.
That's good.
Thanks, buddy. Mr. Luke Knoll. Guys, officially. Dude, officially. I said all those things to say. It's been a long time coming getting you on.
Man, oh man. I feel like one.
Oh my God. My tour,
COVID?
His tour.
Did someone have COVID?
At some point, somebody had the virus.
It might have been me.
Could have been.
I think it was literally me.
It could have been.
Was it me?
Maybe no, once.
It was one of us.
Okay. Because I remember.
We love getting it. So thanks, man.
Thank you for having me.
We'll do plugs as we always do in between the two letters. I'm going to read this. Here we go. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Is my name first?
Hello, pals. Gigantic fan here.
So yes,
I'm a day one paler.
Wow,
that means
that's too long.
The palers have listened to every episode.
It's too much.
It's too many. You want to adopt season three?
I listened to the short teaser episodes. That would be like June 2017,
18.
Within hours of Rory posting about them on Instagram. You're both great talents and great people.
That's a great start to the letter.
I'm writing to ask about love. Okay. I'm currently in a 3-year relationship and have some mixed feelings about our future together. She sees a very clear future for us, marriage, kids, etc., but I feel somewhat ambivalent. I love her a lot, but I'm not sure if I'm in love with her. There's no huge problems in our relationship, but there's definitely times when I feel something intangible is lacking. And there's also times when I feel the relationship is bringing more stress than joy into my life. I know that after I know that after time, the spark and excitement of infatuation can fade, but part of me wonders if maybe I'm just not with the right person. Should I take the risk of losing someone who loves me a lot, or should I go F2F, face to face, and try to make it work with someone who I care about a lot, even though I don't feel I can ever fully reciprocate the feelings she has for me? Wish you all the best. P.S. Best sport to watch live versus best sport to watch on TV. Hockey, football. All right.
We immediately skip the love and only talk hockey football.
Welcome to the party. Our pen pals send us these letters.
Yep.
Very thoughtful. Something going on with their life. Oh, look at my new dog. Oh, my gosh. Should I break up with this person? All this stuff. I'm moving. And then they end it with a question that we're like, hey, just so you know, that's all we're going to talk about.
The only thing
now
we're talking about is hockey. I mean, if you're high up enough live, really fun. Better tickets, quote unquote, when you're lower down, closer to the ice, not even that.
Danger.
I like a little rake. See. A little bit of a rake.
It's true. You can't see.
A little bit
of a
rake.
You
got to
be mid to up.
Top of the low section.
Top of the low
on
section
an angle,
is great.
Looking like nets like here.
If you're too close, the actual like the opaque part of the wall will seal off like 2/3 of the ice.
If you're too close, yeah, you are just there to be able to scream if that was a goal or not.
Yeah.
Whereas if I'm front row in the jungle in Cincinnati, wait, I'm gonna lose my mind.
Okay, so you do love watching football games live?
Oh yeah.
To me, it's so confusing.
Nah, dog, I'm all the way.
But you're always like, how many timeouts do we have? Wait, did that person get hurt? What's the down and distance? How much time? Like, when you're watching a game, you can process so much information once to know what they're going to do here. When I'm there live, I'm always like, did he catch it?
But there's a community to it where sometimes I'm turning over in this drunk guy who's been screaming himself hoarse.
Good factor.
Oh, he'll know.
He knows.
Yeah, he'll know.
I was at that game.
My favorite is the guys, the old timers usually, that have radio play-by-play their ear. That's big at Wrigley Field. Those are guys
I was
are
at the
everywhere.
Game where DeMar Hamlin died. He survived, but I was at that game. And that is a very, like, no one knew less in the moment than us in the stadium. Like, everyone's checking their phones, and so no one has service. Everyone's like,
how quiet?
What's going
how
on?
Quiet did it get?
It was the most messed up. Like, you could hear the Doppler effect of the ambulance leaving the stadium. Kind of thing,
really?
And then there was like a moment where we were like, me and my brother were like, maybe we shouldn't support this.
That's
the first time I realized what Doppler effect means.
But then
that it was sounding farther away.
Yeah, I didn't realize that's Doppler effect.
But then you were like, beer guy,
beer guy.
Yeah, beer guy.
First
that's
quarter.
What broke the silence. I got beer.
Yeah, beer.
I was like, okay, we're back to normal. Yeah. Everything's normal.
And there's that moment where when they wheel guys off who are hurt, they give like a thumbs up and there's an applause moment. Yeah. But then there's a fucking ambulance on the field. There was a moment where they got him up on the stretcher and everyone starts to applaud and then you see that the defibrillator is what's happening and we're like
don't
applaud yet, he hasn't given thumbs up.
What a moment.
Rough
man. Rough. I gotta say, very just the beer kicking back in, so salt burn, you know what I mean? It's almost time for lunch. Like,
but I always wondered, like, a player in a contract year, okay, knows instantly they blew their knee out.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember the NCAA tournament where the guy blew his knee out running back up the court and three other players from the other team who heard it fell?
Yeah.
And everybody on the bench heard it. Like, athletes, even just normal, I think almost every normal person knows when it's gone. And I always wonder if they're like, they finally get him up onto the cart or whatever, you know, knee's gone, contract year. He knows he just lost a minimum $20 million.
Yeah.
And they're like, give him the thumbs up. And he's like, fuck you. I'm not giving.
And also,
this is not a thumbs up situation.
Yeah.
The director up in the booth is like, I see that the man is crying. Can we get a real tight zoom?
Real tight.
Is there someone who can get under the towel that he has over his head so we can really see
let's
this
get,
young man seeing
worse.
His life altered?
Let's get in on this senior college prospect who had definite draft hopes who just blew their knee out
last
year.
Yeah.
Real tight
draft
zoom.
Draft hopes last year.
Yeah,
could
have
gone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We want the 4K of the tier.
One of the best live sporting events I've ever been to was the Islanders versus the Rangers at Madison Square Gardens.
Great.
It was me and Vince Avril and Casey Corbin, and we were there. I took someone else's ticket that didn't have it. We walked around Madison Square Gardens, smoked a joint, went in super high, had a knish. So good. Mm-hmm. Never forget that. I'll never forget that moment. because I didn't know what they were.
Still don't.
And I'm still leading it. And there, across from us, there are eight guys in Islanders jerseys, and they are huge dudes. There's one guy by himself wearing nothing who is a Rangers fan. And anytime the Islanders scored, which they did, the Rangers won, I think, like 4-3. It was great. Tons of goals.
Good game.
But anytime the Islanders scores, these guys stood up. Eight guys who were very big. And this guy stood up alone and was like, sit the fuck down, shut the fuck up. The guy was so intense by himself that eight very large guys, who definitely played high school football minimum, were like...
Current cops.
Literally were like, all right. Whoa. And I just remember watching that, and the other great element about it, and you may remind me of this, guy behind me, he's got the radio going of the game. So we're getting that.
I love that.
Then guy in front of me, old guy with his grandson, explaining everything to his grandson. I'm getting this.
Love that.
I'm getting that. I'm getting a sideshow over here. This, oh, yeah. And also just
you're like in an editing bay.
Up high. Literally, we're high, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, hockey is great.
It's the best. Hockey's the best.
But I had all those elements.
But
you know?
I have to give you credit. When our boss invited us to the LA Football
William?
Club. Yes. Invited us to the LA Football Club, LAFC. And I have never been to a
super
professional
fun.
Live.
They're so fun.
Now, you want to talk about a live experience for that. Now, I imagine it's... Oh, I know that there can be some hooligans.
Oh.
But I imagine in...
Intense.
In the UK, it's insane.
All of them are.
It's the whole place.
It's the whole town, right?
I mean,
it's
the whole...
It's like I saw Welcome to Wrexham, and I'm like, oh, this is... Everybody, every age,
thing.
Every demographic, yeah. Every profession, every
one,
walk of life.
I mean, it's
one. Cell.
It's like the NFL. I mean, there's more. I think there's a little more passion.
I would say way more passion.
But I mean,
come on,
NFL,
you told me you're like watch
NFL
down that end. I go why, and you
have,
go, you'll see.
But I mean to say, like the NFL isn't like. Anyways, that's the section of people who really like the game. It's the whole stadium.
Sure, correct. But Rory, yeah. I looked at you. I go, that's a crazy way to start the game. And you go, and you look at me. You go, Daniel, it's not going to stop. And I go, what do you mean it's not going to stop? You go, you'll see.
They have tribal drums. They bring, it's a BYO
well,
drum.
I go, at halftime, they're going to take a break.
I remember, I'm from Cincinnati, and Cincinnati.
Bragging.
A little bit of a brag. We've never won anything my entire life, and it's been almost a full waste of time until the last 2 years.
It's going to be sweet, though.
It's truly
gonna be sweet.
Been
It's
going
to be sweet.
It's going to be great. Joe Burrow.
Did Cleveland winning feel like something?
Hurt.
Oh, it hurt.
It hurt because I'm like, because I've been making fun of them a lot.
Yeah, wait, yeah.
But
NCAA, Cincinnati's won some shit, right?
I'm not a UC
guy. You're going
guy.
Pro. You're
going
pro.
Do they still have a baseball team?
We got Reds, but you.
Yep.
One of the
big
worst.
Big Red Machine.
Truly awful my entire life.
Big Red Machine.
Truly awful. Big Red Machine, and it was 75, 76, 77. So they're leaning hard on that. I was 20. I moved to LA, and I'm like, doing
great.
It. But we got an MLS team. And Cincinnati got an MLS team, so I went. My friend was like, I'll hook you up with some LAFC. They're going to be in LA. I'm like, great. My wife doesn't care. She goes, all right, I got the kits. I got the merch. We're doing the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go, oh, my gosh. He got us row one, seat one, two. Let's go. This is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
We show up. It's the hooligan section for LAFC.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing. And what that those
and
seating
chance,
are. It's
a lot of chance.
It's well,
they summon a once, spirit.
They summon a lot. They are very intense. And I'm like, I don't realize that it's just general seating in that crazy section.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking I'm down in the front. These guys stop me and they're like, because they see me wearing the opponent stuff.
Oh,
and
he
goes, I'm going to say this to you right now before the game starts. I'm going to be nicer to you than anyone else is going to be. If you stay here, they're going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
And I went, whoa, it's my seats. He goes, you see that little nugget up in the corner all in the distance, that little speck of blue and orange? That's where you sit. And
yeah,
I go,
yeah. Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay. And they are putting their hands on us. They are like
pushing
like
you
one step away from crowd surfing us out of the section.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And my wife, we get up to the opponent section. My wife is like catatonic, and she actually breaks the silence by being like, I'll never be an away fan with you anywhere for anything ever. And she hasn't.
Did you text your, friend and go, just say you hate me?
Yeah, yeah. Did you want me to die?
Yeah. Your friend, I'm actually really upset about your friend there.
He led me astray.
All right, we gotta get into some of this here. Yeah.
Oh, so this we have. The love here.
Yeah.
I know you're married. I'm a married guy. Yeah. I've been with my wife.
I'm not married.
You're not married.
No.
All right, but I feel like asking, I've been with my wife for like 13 years, but we've been together a very long time.
Sure. Yeah.
So I feel like asking me about like love stuff is like, I always think it's weird when people ask priests.
Yeah.
And where I'm like, you're a virgin.
Like relationship.
Yeah. Even shit. Yeah. Yeah. Or when they tell you how to parent or how to have a relationship, you're like,
you don't know anything.
Like Catholics have to go sit with a priest before they get married. Yeah, it's
insane.
Like, what in the fuck are we talking about?
Luke, point of contention, point of order.
Sure.
There was a point when you had to say to yourself, do I know this? And you said, yeah, I know it. This is the
to
one.
To get married?
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And you can speak to, obviously it's very personal because it's your guys' dynamic and your chemistry and she's her and you're you.
Sure.
But you did have to go, all right, let me weigh this because we've been together this long. Is it really, you know, marriage?
You're right.
And do you think, my sort of feeling is, you either are on the roller coaster or you're off it. And so you can't kind of half do it. And if you're saying to yourself like, yeah, I just don't think I'm in love with them, then you aren't. Because I think you could say, I love them so much and I want this to work and I want to stay with them. Because the love part isn't in question.
They say how long they've been together? Three years.
That's a moment of...
I love her a lot, but I'm not sure if I'm in love with her. Then I'd go, you're probably not.
3 years, I hadn't moved in with my wife.
Yeah.
So 3 years, we weren't living together. I do think like there's a lot of follow-up questions I would have of like, do you live together? Are your lives intermeshed?
Ask them. This is pen pals. They might write us back.
They might write us back. That would be questions of like, a lot of people were like, how did you know your wife was the one?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've seen her as bad as it can get with her. She's seen me at my worst. And I'm like, that's not that bad. I'm like, you're a good person.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer when I see single friends of mine dating where I'm like, it's a bummer that just being like, oh, this is a good person is a wildly harder to find than you would think. Oh man, that's a huge bummer that like, I found someone who's like not trying to spitefully hurt my feelings.
Huge. And, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know literally what I mean? Abusive.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You're right.
Or
you're
like,
right.
Like if friends who will say something and you'll go, they said that to you. And you're like, yeah, I wouldn't still be dating them. Just give me that alone.
See,
they were like, yes, they said that I'm blank, blank. And I go, either you bring out the worst in each other. Don't do it.
You're over, right?
Yeah. That's a reason. You bring out the worst of each other. Or they don't like you. Or I hate to say this because you seem to really like them, but they just might be a bad person.
Yeah.
Because as you guys would go, if somebody said something horrible that their girlfriend or boyfriend said to you, and then you were like, let me picture Jordan saying that. And you'd go, that doesn't happen.
Ooh, yeah.
That's not.
Oh, yeah. This person doesn't make decisions to go out of their way to maliciously hurt me.
Or set me up to fail.
How are you in arguing? Are you like.
I've adopted her argument tactics, which I think is for the worst.
Smart. Oh, sorry.
Whoa.
Which I'm like, oh no, I think I need to go back to what I used to do, which is.
Notes.
Just take. I can take a couple more gut punches.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty good about being like, hey, in the moment of an upset discussion, mm-hmm. I'm usually pretty good at being like, hey, I think maybe we need to take a minute to walk in another room.
That's very mature.
And then, but I've gotten worse about that as time has gone on. I used to be better about being like, you said a couple mean things to me in a row and I'm ready to say one back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm gonna.
Yeah, yeah.
But. We're in, for the most part, we're pretty good. But I'll say to this person specifically, I guess it's just jogged loose in my head. I broke up with my wife after about 3 years. We were long distance for a minute, and she moved to Chicago, and we broke up about 3 years in. Mm-hmm. And I had a similar feeling of like, you know, I'm going to really marry this person that I dated in college, and this is going to be the one person I ever, and I'm like, champ needs to know if he's still got it. You know what I mean? There's a moment where the grass is greener, but I'm like, I do need to go on.
Now tell
on
us
a fuck rampage.
Take us down that road. Describe the different
my
rampages.
Fuck rampage.
Yeah.
So there was a moment where it was more of a. How do I know that this
have
is?
Have you seen the bath scene in Eastern Promises?
Have you ever heard of a cum stalactite?
Oh,
it's when the buildup over years it actually
now
forms
you need a sturdy floor.
You
above
really want to make sure that there's a good ceiling. Yeah, yeah. So over the years,
but they say
geological formation.
They say that almost every meaningful relationship that you have, whether it ends in marriage or just as somebody who's with you for 3, 5, 7 years, will go through at least one breakup.
We did. We broke up. We both went our own ways for about a year, and we dated other people. But there was a moment, letter writer, where I realized I don't like any of these people. Mm-hmm. And this whole thing about me wanting to go and see what else is out there, this grass is way more exhausting. That's part of it, too. It's like, I know that I love someone.
Sure.
So you realize when you're away from that person, there is a moment where you go,
oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well, yeah. I do not care about any of these
people.
And that's why I say if they're saying, I don't know if I love them, that you probably don't.
You probably don't. You probably don't. Sometimes you hit a lull or you hit something where you're like, you know, if you're feeling like you never want to get married or something, then you're holding on to them. That is hurting.
I mean, when he says, I feel like the relationship is bringing more stress than joy into my life.
Yeah, there's time. But here's the thing. There's been times where I felt like that.
But that's commitment.
I do that.
I do that.
I bring the stress.
You bring stress.
I'm a stress bringer.
Mm-hmm. I can be a stress bringer myself, you know. But there's also times where, like I said, when you know someone really well.
Should I take the risk of losing someone who loves me a lot?
I got to say, this is not the type of letter that we will be able to, like, answer. I mean, the only advice we can offer is, like, you really got to sit with this and really think about it because,
have you, like, been pegged or not?
When people say, like, oh, the spark goes out and all this or whatever it is, like, I think that does happen. Eventually, at some point, you are, like, friends and you're like, oh, yeah, are we compatible? Can we do this? Do we want to do this? Right. Like, it becomes more than, like, that early romance that is fun. But then when I think I've said it on the show before, I think some people misinterpret that when that fun goes away, that sort of early romance, I think some people interpret that as, oh, I don't think we're meant to be together, as opposed to this is actually just what it's like with people. Like, yes, it can't be day one all the fucking time.
You're not still sucking your mom's boobs after all these years.
Yeah.
You did it early on.
And that's a good
example.
You
got it out of your way.
That's a great example. Yeah.
That's a great metaphor for this.
Well, you don't know. That's what we say all the time.
Yeah. I mean, you can
say that all the fucking time. but I think people, you know, any relationship, if it's going to be maybe long term, year one is going to be different than 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. And, you know, eventually, you know, I used to wonder when I was a kid how my grandparents would, like, they would fucking fight. My grandmother would say something to my grandfather, and he'd kind of take it, but sometimes he'd also, like, kind of push back. And then 5 minutes later, they were just like, what are we doing for dinner? Are we even? And you would be like, did you guys forget? Like, I was like, oh, how are you not harboring this? And, like, why are you not mad for a while?
I like that, too.
And yet you just, because you just get worn down to knowing, like, oh, yeah, fights, little squabbles just will happen. Mm-hmm. And you get past them. But
we're toxicity,
it isn't like you
bonded.
Go, oh, but we're having these squabbles. It's like, we probably aren't in love anymore. It's like, you're going to have these even with whoever the next person is. It's, mm-hmm, there's no way around it.
I agree. That feeling doesn't go away, in fact. But there is there is something to be said of, like, if you are not seeing value in this relationship, or this is something that you don't, your values long term don't align, marriage, children, that, like, if those main things are on a different trajectory, then I think you follow your gut. But if it's that, just like, oh man, we're not doing as much ball play as we used to. It's like, get over it, pal. You know, it's cyclical ball play.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I didn't know what you meant by that.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, February is kind of ball play season.
I would,
like,
agree.
June, sweaty, hot.
You're not going to be ball playing.
Sticky. Not as much, sticky. You know, expectation of ball play.
I think that says it.
I think it's covered, yeah.
James, let us know. I like that Luke had some stuff to say. What about this? What about that? Are you guys, you know, living together? All of those things.
It does make it harder to leave. It makes it harder to when you go,
it does.
Yeah.
Do I want to choose a hard thing?
I think we kind of give this out a lot. Like, I don't know, maybe try some therapy. Like, hear yourself talk to somebody.
No.
I don't even know if couples, honestly.
Agreed.
Like, have somebody to talk to and talk about your stuff and talk about your feelings. And maybe you can kind of be able to sort things out. Oh, this is aligned with that. This speaks to this. This is just fear. Whatever it is. And you might be able to get a clearer answer that way.
Or you could write into a more toxic podcast and they could be like, killer.
Yeah.
Those shows exist. Those shows exist.
You might get the wrong
And then
advice.
You'll end up on another podcast where they talk about you. All right. We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van
Kirk, Rory Scovel, and...
Loop. No.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, plugs and hugs. My special's on Max. Watch it. If you want to watch physical on Apple TV Plus, watch it. If you don't, that's fine. What did I do? Oh, if you want to look at some of my paintings, go to my website, roryscovel.com. And I think that's all I've got. I just have nothing, really. Oh, if you're in L.A. and you want to see a show at Elysian, Chad Damiani and I are doing a kind of a weird kind of show, so come on out and check that out.
I just did his show this past Sunday. Did you like it? Sunday, I had a great time.
Was it just the two of you?
It was just the two of
Isn't
us.
Isn't that, doesn't that like
Silent
really
clown.
Take you somewhere? A cellist on stage?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was wild.
Did you enjoy it?
I loved it. I was terrified in a very fun way.
It takes you out of your comfort zone. Very vulnerable.
I saw some pictures of times he had done it in the past.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of male nudity.
Yeah.
And so I thought to myself.
I thought the same.
I need to do a little manscaping to where if stuff pops out, it looks like it should.
Well, it's ball season.
it's ball season. Literally ball season.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you mean.
For me, DanielVanKirk.com for dates and rates. You can go there. My special drops April 17th, Rose Gold. And on April 9th, I will be doing The Hour one last time as it stands at the Elysian Theater at 7:30. So go to DanielVanKirk.com. And on May 18th, I'll be in Wisconsin at the Thrasher Opera House in Green Lake, Wisconsin. I'd love to see you there. Other stuff coming soon.
Nice. Luke. My name is Luke Knoll.
Yep.
Have so much fun being here.
Thanks, buddy.
I like how you downplay. You're like, I don't really have that much. Just a release of a major special. Little turd. I'm gonna do my. I got a little. We're all little special guys.
Sure.
I think I'm premiering mine or clips of mine at the Netflix's Joke Fest on Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah. Nice.
So I want to make sure that that's cool action. And fun. Little 5-5. So I'm on Cinco de Mayo. Gonna be doing that. I think at the Kookaburra Lounge.
Nice.
Brand new zone. Very fun, very cool.
I don't know where that is.
Brand spanking new in Hollywood. If you're going to if you're doing Netflix Fest is a joke fest, I'd love to have you. Gonna do plenty of goofs and stuff, but I'm also on the road all the time. Website and the socials, on Instagram and TikTok, all that stuff. Luke Knoll.
Awesome.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. We're on TikTok too, the Pen Pal Spot and Instagram. Well, also, we haven't said this in a long time.
Yeah.
You can send us letters, thepenpalspod@gmail.com.
Send us letters, folks. It's the fuel for the fire.
Or mail us a letter at 5419 Hollywood Boulevard, Suite C, number 121, Los Angeles, California.
90027.
Awesome. Ready?
Let's go to the next. Oh, here it is.
All right.
Ready?
Me ready.
Coldest you've ever been. Hi, Daniel.
Oh, well, no. Daniel and Rory. Read it clear and loud.
Hey,
and loud.
Daniel and Rory.
Love it.
You chose this one, and now I know why.
I think they chose, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, well, they got it wrong, and I also think you wrote this letter. I just got back from a trip to Finland. Oh, never mind. And goddamn was it cold. By the way, whenever you write goddamn, you're not still intending the thing that is still, like, if you are like saying goddamn because you think it's not okay to say goddamn, you are still saying goddamn when you say goddamn. I want to be very clear about that.
God is still upset.
It's like people who have anal sex and they go, I'm still a virgin. You're not.
Damn it.
You're not.
And you need to, did they capitalize the G in got?
It's actually great point. This person didn't do it in God, and so they're going to hell.
What if it's atoll?
Does that make sense? When we're like, God atoll damn. Sex. It's like, you're still saying goddamn. Right.
I mean, have you run into your child changing cuss words and being like, I didn't say it?
No, we let her curse.
Yeah.
I have a whole great bit about it. It's fucking dope. It's
really good.
I know that in your house, but I remember in mine, I had rules. And my mom would be like, you're still saying shit. I said shivit. I said bullshit. Core memory.
I just got back from Finland. Cold. I'm American and grew up in the South, so I was lucky to see. I was lucky to ever see snow. When I off the plane for my trip, it was -15 degrees Fahrenheit and -25 with wind chill, folks. I don't know if you know this, but that is cold. That is real cold.
Really cold.
My mustache and inner nose hairs were frozen within minutes. Then you're actually not even supposed to be out in that kind of
temperature. No, it's dangerous. You can die.
Within like 3 minutes, you could be
Have
dead.
You ever? Well, we'll get into it. We'll get into it.
I bet that's part of this.
Then I got on a train to go further north where it was even colder. My goddamn eyelids would freeze shut. Despite all this, I don't think this is the coldest I've ever been. Potentially, it was shooting the hooch, Rory knows, in October, or a rainy late-season football game just wearing a T-shirt under my soaked marching band uniform. Something about being cold and wet is way worse. Pen pals, what's the coldest you've ever been? Dan.
Bling, bling, bling. Decent amount to unpack.
It does say, call me Dan, but he's biased.
I don't like that.
You guys, the region that you're from, definitely colder than the region. I grew up in South Carolina, but
I've experienced colder than what was listed here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I know, I get what this person is referring to in that, like, it being colder outside doesn't necessarily mean you're that frozen to the bone wet kind of cold. Presumably you're prepared to go to Finland and have like a parka or something.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like getting caught when unprepared the for wet the cold is tough.
Yes. Oh my God.
I went to a Bears Packers game at kickoff. It was -14.
No.
I mean,
no. Now,
we had those hot hands things in our pockets, in our hands, in our gloves.
Yeah.
And then we also have them, you put them in your shoes, and then went like with full, because Uncle Ken worked for the city, he was able to get us like those coverall, like Carhartt, like before it was cool, just like full on, like what the fucking, you know, Rochelle Municipal Utilities linemen wear,
right.
Electrical linemen. And it was insanely cold. However, I was fine.
You're prepared.
Yes.
You're prepared.
Yes. That's what people say. Because in LA, I was doing this joke for a little while where I was like,
How old were you at that time?
27, 28. In LA, they didn't really build these older apartment buildings or anything with like insulation.
Right.
And so it doesn't let it out the right way. It lets it in too easily.
Sure.
Yeah. And so it will be like, if it's, I tell people this, I go, hey, in Rochelle, Illinois, if it's 45 degrees outside, it's probably about 65 degrees in your house.
Yeah.
In LA, if it's 49 degrees outside, it is 49 yes. degrees in your house.
Yeah.
There's no
houses yes. are for show here, and that includes rain.
Yes,
we're just like, oh.
And so, and oftentimes, you'll find yourself being outside in what you would not have taken with you if you were in the Midwest. So you are totally. Very cold.
You're not prepared for it.
Yes,
which loops back around. I'm an Eagle Scout.
Oh,
hey,
are you
Sergeant?
Oh, left hand would be the official.
That's true.
Wait, is that true?
The official Boy Scout handshake is simply a left-handed chick.
Girl Scout. So,
did you go all the way?
Yeah, cookies.
You know,
cookies.
I don't know. They them scout.
I saw a meme recently. It just said someone was like, "Yeah, I think I'm going to finally start eating right." And it just says, "Girl Scouts, the fuck you are."
Samoas.
S tier. Okay. But I went on a camp out one time that was canoeing down
this is for the Eagle river. Scouts.
This was for Boy Scouts. Okay, I was 15 maybe, and I'm canoeing down a river in Tennessee in the summertime. But it rains every fucking day.
Yeah.
And it's one of those situations where each guy only had one little bag of like rainproof.
Yeah.
Because you're just in the rain. Mm-hmm. If you're canoeing, you're That's just it. Eating it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's, coming you're not up. Even. Yeah, exactly. You're just sitting in open rain all day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And so there's a moment where I remembered my sleeping bag, my like dry bag got water inside of it. So
you're done.
And no. I'm done. I'm toast. And so there was a moment where I was wet sleeping, which is miserable. And so I try to be slick and like dry my sleeping bag out by putting it near the fire because you can dry it out.
Luke.
Melt that sucker right to a rock. The thing immediately is melted to a rock. I'm just like, I'm fucked. So I'm like sleeping with like my jacket. Like my sleeping bag's ruined.
Yep.
Like
yeah.
peeling it off of a rock. But yeah, yep. I remembered it being like not that cold at night, but rainy, wet. Is bad, but I was in Chicago 2013 for the polar vortex -40.
Mm-hmm.
That was like,
oh,
it was brutal. Like yeah. I remember hurts. Being outside and like it hurts blinking.
Your teeth.
Yes,
it hurts everything.
I had just played. I played Lincoln Lodge, and the show had ended, and I was staying at like Lincoln or some. It was a 1 mile walk, and the show had ended, and I was like, yo, I was like a mile straight down this road. I was like, I'm going to walk back. And everyone was like, let us give you a ride. I go, no, I'm going to walk. I was like, it's a nice night. I'm just going to go down and it'll be a mile. I want to like play the show in my head and blah, blah, blah. I was outside for 2 minutes mm-hmm. and I was like, cab, a cab like went by.
God.
I got in. The guy's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I thought I could walk like a mile. It was, by the way, just so you know, it was 6 degrees. I'm not even saying negative.
But the wind chill.
It was separation from Kevin Bacon.
I had just
if
like.
If it was six, you were walking yeah. around in negative.
I had
negative
just not been chill. In that. He was with me. I have not been in that kind of like a temperature like that. And if I have ever in my life, it's sure. been a long time. And that guy was like, yeah, you don't want to be out in this. And everyone was like, oh, yeah, the polar vortex. It was the week after the polar vortex. And somebody was like, oh, man, last week it was 50 degrees colder than this. And I was like, it is so cold right now that I'm not joking you when I say I actually can't even picture or imagine even slightly what that must have felt like. And people were telling me, like,
there were warnings like if your dog's got to go outside to go to the bathroom, you've got 2 minutes max. And one guy after the show was like, I let my dog out. He goes, and I just had the door open. I was smoking a cigarette, and I was kind of watching the game, and I'd watch the dog. And he goes, and I kind of was watching the game too long. He goes, I look back outside. He goes, and I watched my dog. No, the dog is fine.
Okay.
He goes, I watched my dog in the cold just accept death and, like, lay down. Like, and now,
like in the gray?
Like, it was literally yeah, like, and now I'm going to die. And, like, I can't even go back to the house. And he was like, he goes, I looked out and he was like, oh, fuck. He goes, I went and grabbed the dog, brought him in, like, warmed him up, and he was fine. He goes, but I watched my dog accept death. And he goes, it was the most surreal thing to, like, see your dog just be like, I can't get back to the house. He's not coming out to get me. I'm dead. It's over. It's over.
This is it.
Yeah.
Wow.
But people were telling me, like, those kind of stories. And it was funny is that I ran into Chad Daniels that weekend, and we went and got a coffee. And I was telling him basically that story and how people were like, oh, it's so much colder. And he was like, where I live up in Minnesota, he goes, it was 30 degrees colder than that. Mm-hmm. And he said, I was inside my home. Outside is cold. He goes, I have the heat on, full heat.
Blasting it.
Yes. Blasting the heat.
Yes.
And he goes, and I would touch the walls inside the house. He goes, and they were starting to get cold. And he goes, he said, I literally had no next move. He goes, I did not know what even it would be. And I was like, wow, yeah, I have no clue like what I would even do with my child and be like, all right, I don't know what our plan is to like stay alive.
Remember
right
me
now.
As I was?
Yeah. Anyways, we're all going to be
inside my body.
We're all going to be going through that sort of day after tomorrow scenario probably 10 years.
Does Aunt hit quick in the Midwest.
Oh, my gosh. Aunt Connie said to me once, and I just said, you know, sometimes just people put something in a perspective that you're like, yeah. They go, she goes, she's like, it's 67 degrees in our house, 68 degrees in our house. It's negative 35 outside. Our heater is doing over 100 degrees worth of work.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm like, oh, fuck, you're right. Like,
yeah. It also makes you feel that much worse for homeless people in Chicago. You're like, you guys are doing
I've always wondered what happens.
They die.
Do they die?
A lot of deaths. A lot of them die. But in a lot of places, you have to open up. But then you have to get the word out, like, where you can go.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of good citizens and good people devoting their time and their love to just humans.
Yeah.
To say, like, hey, here's where can go.
Or you go hang out on the red line for a little while.
Yeah, that's a
move. Yeah. Sometimes
and they will sometimes just have a, like, amnesty on that, where they're like, just get on a train. We're fine. Just stay on a train. Because you get so cold. I'm trying to think of, like, I remember one time I was home, and we get used to it. I get spoiled. One of the reasons I live where I live is because how much I would get seasonal depression, right? So I was very excited to have my career and life take me out here. And I was back home, and it was so, I was home for like 5 days. It was one of those shutdown weather temperatures.
And you're not used to it anymore.
And I was like, guys, you don't understand. Like, if I need to, like, go outside and walk for a run, I just go outside. So I got to go. And I remember Aunt Connie and Uncle Ken being like, you should not go for a walk. But I literally had to, and I don't regret doing it. But it was, I got like a block and a half. And I was like, I got to come back. Yeah. And by the time I got back, everything hurt. My extremities all hurt. And a lot of people don't think about it. You can't warm up fast.
No.
Like, intense heat hurts.
Yeah.
Way, almost as bad as what you were just feeling from the cold. Yes. Mm. And so you have to, like, gradually warm
yourself up. Have some chili and hot cocoa.
Wild.
A little cocoa, warm up.
Fuck.
No problem.
I'm sure I've had football. I think in like high school sports, just times we were just out there in the rain, just so fucking
so
cold.
So cold and wet.
That is the thing.
Yeah, but there's a certain, like, when you're all united in this, like, we're doing this. But then it's a different thing where you're like, oh, we're getting our ass kicked.
I know that you're losing, and now you hate everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a follow-up question for you. As an Eagle Scout, it's very traditional. You have to do some big project at the end, right? What was your big project?
My big project was, my mom is a special ed teacher and a public school outside Cincinnati. And there was like a little wooded lot next to her school.
Okay.
And so I got my boys, my leaders. I flexed my leadership muscles, let them, we carved out a path, built a big, like, outdoor classroom, benches, bulletin board,
all
this stuff. I did the whole 9 yards, and they used it for approximately 1 year and then allowed it to fall into complete and utter disrepair. Hey. And I believe that nature retook it. And
it's
still, maybe it's still there. There's some benches out there.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were like, yeah, 1 year of
some semblance of it.
It was a great idea.
I did way more work than some of my buddies did. Where I'm like, you got to do a book drive? You know, I was there for weeks.
Yeah.
For weeks digging and clearing brush. And it was a pain in the ass. Huh. Yeah. What did you do?
I'm not an Eagle Scout. But my friend.
Never forget that. Never forget that. You didn't earn that.
When I got to the Pinewood Derby and realized you needed a dad, I was out.
Yeah, they're like, sorry.
Wait, did that feel weird that you did the left hand handshake with someone who's not an Eagle Scout?
Oh, wait.
That feels filthy.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't realize.
No, I think
it actually was the test.
No, I think
it actually is why I knew.
Because who does left hand?
Because that's the shake. That is the official Boy Scout handshake is left hand shake.
Well, Chris Sullivan, friend of the show, friend of ours, I will have him. He's an Eagle Scout. He did a nice community bench. So I'll make up my handshake by forcing you guys to
punch him.
The real flex is this. This is the Boy Scout handshake.
What, like Romans?
Romans.
Yes. Really?
Yeah, you die together.
You die together.
Well, I'm ready to die for any of those guys. For any of my boys in 914, shout out to my boys in Troop 914.
Shout out 914.
I'll die for any of you guys to this day.
That's so funny. That's a comedy.
Do you think Girl Scouts have as much fun selling cookies only as you guys do getting to learn so many camping things?
Do prepping for the show alone?
Well, like Girl Scouts, there's like the brownies or whatever where they're like little kids. Cub Scouts.
Yeah.
And Girl Scouts.
Bluebirds.
Those are like more comparable, but I didn't know many Girl Scouts who went until they were like, I went until I was 17.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Well, I think it's probably because they probably get tired of selling the fucking cookies that being the only fucking thing that it is.
Right. Like,
there are other merit badges and stuff.
I know, but what are they doing?
Right.
This was a part of one of my episodes of physical.
Their top tier is selling stuff. Your top tier is like, I built something for the community.
People ask me, but you were like learning tangible
survival type things. And they're like, and sure, look.
Yeah, you went through a Midwestern version of Nom, like out there, just you reenacted all the Forrest Gump scenes.
Yeah. I learned, people ask me, like, do you know how to tie a knot still?
That's a badge, reenacting Forrest Gump.
Reenacting Forrest Gump in the world, in the nation, and in your community.
Now, look, you're going to get into this Alabama game for one play.
Yeah.
You have to score.
You need to score. You need to run down the tunnel.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to keep going. Yeah. Bo Jackson it.
There was a, with the Cub Scout stuff. Never mind. It's gone. It was gone.
They lost
it. Oh, it's gone?
It's gone.
God, that happens to me all the time.
Yeah, it happens. Almost.
Let me ask you, are you good at letting it go or does it eat you like the whole day?
I immediately remembered what it was.
Go ahead.
And it's that people ask me.
God, I hope it's bad and worthless.
And it's gone. Yeah.
I hope it's such a waste of time.
I hope it gets you canceled.
And it's back.
I hope it gets you canceled.
It was back and now it's gone again.
It gets you canceled.
It might. People ask me, like, do you have any like skills that you still remember? Like knots. Do you remember any knots?
Sure, yeah.
And I remember a handful of knots, but one of the knots that I remembered, like really putting the time to learn to make it look really cool and right, was like a full on hangman's noose.
Oh.
And I could tie a fucking nice looking noose. And I
remember the dads clip that.
And the dads in the troop were like,
do not clip that.
Whoa. He's like, you're teaching the little kids how to do this. I'm like, it's 13 loops to make sure that your neck breaks.
And you do not want to
strangle on this puppy. You want to jump off some high up enough where it just snaps and you're done.
You keep trying. Look, guys, there are still horse thieves, okay? Like, you keep trying to westernize it.
Exactly. Highwaymen.
Highwaymen. Oh, all right. You close us out?
Yeah, let me close this out. Grab my future tablet here. Actually, this is a pretty old one. Dan, thanks for, shooting the hooch. Chattahoochee.
That's what it is.
Banks
Alan
Jackson.
Chattahoochee.
Is it really cold?
It can be. I mean, when they're talking about
waiting
October,
on yonder on the Chattahoochee.
But that doesn't mean shooting the hooch don't mean like that, because that warms you up.
Yeah.
Right. It's very true.
They do mean that. It's the drink hooch.
I was going to say
that cools you down.
Really, really quick.
That drink? Is that still
yes, Hooch green bottles. Yeah. Went through that. Oh, God, the heartburn on that.
I did that in college, and I was like, oh, drinking's easy. And then it was like, yeah, you're drinking straight sugar. And
yeah,
I was like,
garbage water.
I'm so excited.
I was excited.
When you mentioned Chicago Nights, I did remember that. The amount of times being drunk made walking to the L train or walking home so much warmer.
Palatable.
It really, yeah.
But really, it's you're dying quicker.
Uh-huh.
You're feeling the warmth of the, I'm dying soon.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dan, thank you for this letter, and I almost said good luck next time you're in Finland. Maybe that does apply. I don't know. We wish you well. Sincerely, Rory Scovel,
Daniel Van Kirk,
and Luke Knoll.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in exactly. To what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right. Which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.